Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
Here we go. Time for our near award-winning segment, What Mark Heard. And that would be Mark Grody. And that would be the time that we find out what Mark heard this week. Mark.
I have a lot here, and I think it's going to be a very entertaining edition of What Mark Heard. And we'll start with the White Sox game from last night in a Sox 9-8 win over Detroit. And Dallas Keuchel in this game got the start, goes six innings, allowed one earned run, five hits, three strikeouts, one walk, and only had 80 pitches when he was pulled. So there were a lot of irate White Sox fans wondering why Tony La Russa went to the bullpen at that point. And my good friend and White Sox historian Dan Dorfman told me, oh man, Ozzie just went off on the media for not asking about Dallas Keuchel. So I haven't even heard this yet, but I'm going to trust that it is a pretty good rant and challenge from Ozzie Guillen on NBC Sports Chicago last night. Steve, let us listen.
The people covered this ball club today, the media, you guys are weak. Where's the camera? Here? You guys are weak. How you cannot ask Tony La Russa why Keuchel is pitched only 80 pitch? At least we need to know why, because 80 pitch, I don't care about the innings. 80 pitch, you know what I mean, can give you another one. But I'm concerned about him. Can he go out for another inning? Or he was, his back was tight, his hamstring was sore, his arm was dead. Anything. Why the media in Chicago is so soft? They are so soft. I'm here since 1985 to right now. It was 2021?
It's 2021?
Life. I'm being here.
Well,
you guys are soft. Yes.
No, I hear what you're saying.
Yes, I'm here.
I want to know the answer, too. I wanted someone to ask the question.
We need it.
This is a big story of the game because
we need it.
The Sox won the game. We're thrilled about it, but they almost lost it because of the bullpen.
Well, and like I say, I hope it's nothing wrong.
Right.
I hope it's just, listen, my back tight or my arms not feel well.
We might hear from Keuchel while we're on the air.
I know, but that's the manager's answer. Keuchel just said, you know what? Nobody answered. You know what? Nobody asked the question, do you know how no guts? Period.
Man.
Wow.
God.
Wow. Well, that is a question that should be asked. Why didn't you take Keuchel out? Was he hurt?
I mean, there was a lot going on in that game. So, I mean, and that was even of more consequence.
Yeah.
As time went on, like Cody Hoyer and Evan Marshall and Yermin Mercedes and Yasmani Grandal. But, yeah, I guess they probably should have snuck that question in.
Yeah, especially when you see the what the bullpen did. I mean, Evan Marshall was, rocky start and to the season then was really, I mean, that was the first homer, and now it's homers he'd given up since April. So he'd gone all of May without it, and that's okay. Now this is starting to get in line with a bullpen, and Hoyer didn't have it. He got it, and trying to protect these kind of leads, they needed another home run. It's just you're not, this bullpen should not be doing that, and you shouldn't need your, with it, with a 7-2 lead, you shouldn't expect to have Liam Hendricks have to come in the ninth inning and then try to win it in the bottom of the ninth. So the question should have been asked, and we don't know, maybe it was Tony overcompensating for the time he didn't realize Giolito had completely lost it, and maybe somebody on the bench, like the pitching coach, said this is when we make that move. We go to our bullpen. So, good point, Ozzy.
And it is, yeah, I mean, it is relatively typical for starters these days to go six innings. Now, 80 pitches is not a lot. And Keuchel's kind of been on and off. So, yeah. Well, we'll leave it right there. Hey, keep your heads up, White Sox media. I think you're great. I do. And I don't think you're soft. All right. Let's move on to one more Ozzie Guillen cut, and this is just hilarious. Ozzie Guillen talking about those people who get college degrees and people who speak languages, and it got to Don Cooper at one point in time. Just listen to this and enjoy it. Here's Ozzie Guillen again on NBC Sports Chicago.
You know what's funny about this United States school? Guys can even spell B. They can go graduate from college.
Now you're saying about Frank.
I'd say by anyone is out there, whoever, if the shoes fit, wear. Yes. Like, oh, I graduated from, by the way, I got a manager. Alex Cora, graduated from Miami.
Yeah.
He can't even say hello in Spanish. They're like, how you graduated from college?
Here's a series of scholarship. Come to my school. Help us win.
I might go there. I will go to some college here in Chicago. Please, I will donate $500,000. Give me some degrees.
Ozzie, you'll see. Tissy was like that manager, hey, that Braves manager. See,
yeah.
Sneaking behind the mound at 18. Gotcha, Ozzie.
Hey, I swear to God, I will donate $500,000 to a college as I have some diploma.
You would not. Come on.
I bet you like...
Just to get a diploma, you would donate $500,000.
Yeah, you will see people calling my son like, hey, wait, we can talk to Ozzie.
Yeah, exactly. Be an honorary...
Somebody can give you an honorary degree. Maybe University of Chicago.
Well, they did it.
That's close to the ballpark.
They did it. They did it to Don Cooper, the dumbest man I've ever been in my life. He got a college degree. I'm like, oh my God. Really? Cooper can't even say his grandkids, his kid's name. And he got a college degree. All right, let's go on.
Wow. Wow, Don Cooper. No, you gotta go. He's a doctor. He's Dr. Don Cooper. Oh my God. He's the dumbest man. Nice. All right. The scorched earth Aussie. That's quite a thing. That's it. The media, Don Cooper, that I'm gonna pay to have to get my degree. All right, sure. Yeah, why not?
Can you imagine Cooper getting wind of this? Like, what did I do? I'm just retired here. I'm hanging out with my birds and my dogs, and I hear this about Ozzie. I think that those two should actually do like a Q&A comedy tour, because they'd be hilarious, just with the ball busting that would go on between Ozzie Guillen and Don Cooper would be, if I may say, deluxe.
Deluxe. It would be deluxe. Just have I? Whoa, Chief. That would, yeah.
All right. I just thought that everybody needed to hear that. That was awesome. All right. Let's move on to Bears now. I had Marty Mornhinweg on the show last night, and he is I'm sure most Bears fans remember him as the Detroit Lions head coach years ago, early 2000s. The former 49ers OC, a Philadelphia Eagles quarterbacks coach, a guy who has been around forever. So I had him on. He was great. He was on at 7 o'clock last night. We talked for about a half an hour, and I've had Brandon Fryer, our producer, put together the stuff that he talked about as far as Justin Fields and the Bears are concerned.
Well, it looks like the Chicago Bears got their man. This is a man that has all the physical skills, the height, the weight, the arm. Now, I would work to quicken his release up just a little bit. Don't change it, but just quicken it up a little bit. He's got excellent athleticism. Geez, I think he ran a 4.44 at the combine. Now that minicamp that you were just at, I heard you talking about, there is an awful lot of learning going on. And to be a great NFL quarterback, the decision-making, the accuracy, the timing is so important. And then that will allow you to let your instincts take over. Hundreds and hundreds of repetitions in minicamps and OTAs. And look at the young guys, especially the young guys that have this great speed and athleticism, typically they rely on their feet more than playing the quarterback position. So all of the young quarterbacks I've had, I've really emphasized, play the quarterback position first and then move only when you're forced to move. And then you can utilize all that dynamic ability. So I think that's what they're probably going through. I'm sure they're emphasizing some of those things between Matt and Bill and John.
Yeah, that's Marty Morningweg. I thought the quick and the release stuff was interesting. And yeah, of course, you want your quarterback to be able to throw the ball first before running. And it appears, Steve, that Justin Fields is adept at that, since he the prowess as far as the long ball is concerned. What did you get out of that?
Yeah, initially when he was drafted, you saw scouting reports and it was needs to get rid of the ball sooner. And it should have been explained, and then this is a matter of degrees. Is he holding the ball because he looks deep to short? Is he holding onto the ball longer than you might want, you critic, you scout, whatever it is, because he's waiting for a deep guy to come open? That's the way he wants to play the game. That's one of the big things. One of the big reasons the Bears fell in love with him. He looks deep to short. He's not looking to throw the flare. He's not looking to check down. And you're going to hold on to the ball too long when that happens. So I don't know specifically what Marty Morningweg was talking about, but I do know that the reason for the speed of the game in every area for Justin Fields is going to be such that he's never seen before, even playing at a big-time program. It's going to be the defensive backs are so fast that he doesn't know what a receiver looks like when he's open in the NFL. The pass rush is so fast. Guys will be at his feet sooner than he knows. His clock will have to be readjusted. That's all true. But think about it, Mark, when can this really happen? When can Justin Fields take the actual experience of it? Not until an exhibition game. Right. Because nobody's going to touch him. His life's not in danger until that point, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
And even if they had the joint practices that they've done before, this quarterbacks are still wearing the red jerseys.
Yeah, I mean, there's very little to discern from or to conclude from any of the off-season stuff, especially these OTAs, you know, where they are in shorts and they are playing against air for the most part. So it is, yeah, absolutely.
Also,
August 14th, that's when you see them play.
Yeah, but also there's the number, what he was talking about was with all the reps, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of reps. See, that's will always be an issue. Why didn't Justin Fields get these reps? Well, because Andy Dalton needed him. He's QB1, and they're both learning the same playbook. They're gonna stumble at different points, not necessarily the same points. And Justin Fields may look better because he can outrun his inability to digest the playbook and digest NFL speed. Andy Dalton may not, but he's learning the same playbook. And dividing up reps is going to be telling and huge, I think. And I don't know what Matt Nagy's going to do, and he's not really telling you. Right?
Right. I mean, all he has said of anything definitive is that Andy Dalton gets the first snaps with the first team. So as far as like quantity by like who's actually finishing, as we always say in NBA, doesn't matter who starts, it's about who finishes. That's what we'll track when we have an opportunity to track such things in the practices.
Did you? Was there an opportunity Wednesday when you guys were allowed in, or will it be next week? Wasn't it an issue really?
What's that? As far as
counting
the practice?
Counting reps, counting who
got. Oh, yeah. So yeah, we're allowed to watch the entire practice. We are. It gets a little tricky with like how much we can reveal, but I will say that, yeah, Andy Dalton was getting, as Matt Nagy said, was getting the first reps with the first team, but it was very casual, and Justin Fields was getting his fair share as well. I did not count exact because there were so many different manifestations of offensive line, and there was nothing that they were doing seemed remotely exact to what you will see on September 12th. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we'll have another chance on Wednesday to get out there too. So they let us watch the whole thing, but we got to be careful with how much we reveal, unless the coach reveals it via Zoom. It's complicated, Steve.
It's complicated. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll wait for you to suss it out for me.
Yeah. I'll tell you off air. No, I really have nothing more to add. I know that pisses listeners off anyway. But no, I have more on what Mark heard.
Yep.
And that is Vincent Goodwill, YahooSports.com, was on the score. And Vincent, he's a great reporter, and he's a very entertaining guy. But he does like to troll Chicago for some reason. He likes to troll Bulls fans, and every chance he gets. It's like, why do you hate Chicago so much? He is a Detroit guy. And he was he was on with the afternoon show, and he was kind of trolling them again. Take a listen.
I think the mental toll that all this has taken on LeBron and the Lakers, starting from the bubble and ending and then going to the shortened season, I think you just saw it all sort of crashing down. It was a little bit surprising. They were blitzed. And sometimes when you see that and it's a little bit surprising, it takes your life a little bit. So I wasn't really surprised that he reacted that way. I was more surprised that the Lakers tried to make a game of it. Like, they were furious in their comeback, and you wind up losing a little bit of energy when the other team hits a few more shots and they stretch the lead back to 16 or 19. So I can see that. And I'm sure people in Chicago are rejoicing because LeBron doesn't get close to title number 5, which means the legacy of Michael Jordan is even protected even more. So I totally understand where you guys are coming.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. The Jordan legacy did get further protection. It is not out of the woods. But as I was saying the other day, if LeBron James does get to 6, then we really have to have the conversation about who's better, Michael or LeBron. Until that time, I've always felt that we didn't really need to have the conversation.
Right. And I would still say Bill Russell. Sorry.
Yeah,
you want to count? Go ahead. Count titles. Count numbers. And Bill Russell's legacy is safe from LeBron James by several lifetimes at this point. So that's not happening either. A guy who won like that and could dominate. He got the ball. Somebody had to go get the ball for you, and he would still do 20 and 15 or 15 and 20, whatever you needed. That's the way Bill Russell would do it. So
yeah. What do you think of LeBron? Were you happy that the Lakers were eliminated?
No.
Or no? Okay.
No, I wanted to see them go. It would have been a great story if they went back to back that way.
Yeah.
And health seems to be catching up with teams, and it was such an experience, and they won one, and they weren't going to get this one, and guys kept getting hurt. What are you going to do? That's it. They had to play the playing game, and I know that there was fear and Phoenix, like, this isn't fair. We shouldn't have to play the Lakers. That was it. When the Lakers won that play-in spot and then moved to, all right, we're taking on Phoenix. Phoenix said, no, we played. There were some comments out of Phoenix and the media surrounding the whole thing. Wait, why do we have to play LeBron? We finished second. We shouldn't have to do this. Well, you're going to have to beat somebody good along the way. Get going. And then it was 5 games. There you go. We're faster than them. So
yeah.
I was sorry to see it. I would like to see greatness continue, and that's what I was hoping for. But didn't like just I want to see Lillard keep going on. You know, they lost. Their coach got fired, or I'm sorry, mutually agreed to part ways. Right. Like he agreed, Terry Stotts agreed to leave the building when they fired him. But right, were you? Did you have a rooting interest in anybody in the West? By the way,
no. Oh, a rooting interest?
Yeah.
No, I really don't. I picked Utah when pressed to pick a couple of months ago when I was having a conversation with Cody Westerlund of our station. So I guess Utah would be my rooting interest.
Okay. That's
you?
No.
Was it the Lakers?
No, I root for stories.
Yeah.
Whatever teams get advanced, there's probably a good story there. And then I'll see how I feel about it. And I just want to see good stuff. I want to see a good version of whatever I'm watching. I mean, did you watch much of the Hawks-Knicks series?
No, I did not watch. I've barely watched any of the NBA. I guess once the Bulls were out, it wasn't that. And the baseball's right. So good, and the Bears stuff is hot. So no.
Right. Okay. I totally get that. It was sort of, you know, old timers day. It was all right. Let's go to the high school reunion because there's Tibbs and Derek and Taj and I don't know. There might as well have been Joakim and Keith Bogans and Cebu's. And they've got the Knicks back, and it's part of one of the series. You know, that series was noted for the fan ugliness that just got out of hand, and we'll discuss that in a moment. But that idea of the Hawks and there's Trae Young, and I never knew. I haven't studied him enough, watched him enough, but my feeling was always, you don't know what you're going to get, and there was almost a John Starksness about it. Give me the ball, I'll get hot. You're not hot. Uh-huh. Give me the ball, I will get hot.
Right.
Give me the ball, I'm hot. You're not hot. Give me the ball, I will get hot. That kind of thing. I'm shooting, I'm doing that. So if you only saw one part of the series, then it should have been Trae Young's step back three with 43 seconds to go in game five. And he hits it in the Garden. And he goes, and then he takes a bow. He takes a bow, and his quote afterwards was, I did it in high school after I hit a game winner. I know where we are. I know there's a bunch of shows around this city, and I know what they do when the show is over. I love that. See, I could root for a guy as cocky as that. And if I was rooting for one player in the West, it would be Luka Doncic.
Okay.
All right. I love what he does. I love the talent. I so wanted the Bulls to get him. He's been
terrific.
Amazing. But again, that's the story. Trae Young is like, oh, hey, look at me. I'm okay. I'm looking. Go. Mm-hmm. So that was it. I know we have more. What Mark heard. What time to take a break?
Yeah.
We'll come back and finish it, Mark.
Yep. But we've got some a great Michael Jordan moment, and we will discuss the sticky stuff on pitchers' hands in baseball.
Excellent. I had marked that down, too. So now what Mark heard, mark it down. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Welcome in, welcome back. Part two of What Mark Heard, our near award-winning segment with, coincidentally enough, Mark Rohde, Saturday Suckage.
It all makes sense on this show. And 30 years ago today, there was one of the greatest Michael Jordan individual moments of all time. Roll it.
The look away to Livingston.
When he came down the lane, he just went one way, said, well, I don't know, and then he went off against the glass. He can do the impossible, the unbelievable, and it was his game tonight.
Cliff threw it back to me, and I saw a clear lane to the basket, so I was going to dunk the ball. But then I saw long-arm Sam Perkins there, and it was just instincts to change it. I changed it to my left hand and was able to get it off. Just one of those creative moves, and sometimes creativity, you just don't know what's going to happen.
Looks like Michael Jordan is trying to find a way to miss his shot. Instead of taking the easy one, he tries to make it.
still comes up. He's saying to the fans, I love it.
Game two, Steve, of the 1991 NBA Finals, Michael Jordan switching hands in midair. It was spectacular.
Yeah, the right-handed dunk became a left-handed lay-in off the glass, and it was probably wonderfully satisfying that he did it against former North Carolina teammate Sam Perkins, long-arm Sam Perkins sticking his hand in there. And, that's iconic. That and the shrug. The shrug would be the next year, and then he left. He left those kind of moments. That was quite the move, and that was their first one.
The best part of that series, though, for me, was when Phil Jackson or whomever came up with the idea to put Scottie Pippen on Magic. You remember that, right?
Yeah. Then it was over.
It was over. And I remember one of my favorite Chris Farley moments was, I don't remember, maybe it was 2016, doing Cubs pre and post, and Scottie Pippen was in he was doing the stretch, and he hung out with us for five innings, and he was just sitting next to me, right? He's sitting there down there drinking a beer and just being all Scottie. And I did to Chris Farley, I go, you remember when Phil Jackson put you on Magic in that series?
Really?
I swear to God, because I was getting comfortable with Scotty, and Scotty looked up at me. He goes, "Yeah, that was awesome."
Wow, you're just Chris Farley moments all over the place with your idols, right?
Yeah, then the big Scottie Pippen smile too. Like he was so happy that I brought it up. Like it made him I think it made his night.
And did you really go full Farley and talk and the dunk over Ewing? Did you get to that point?
Remember that time
you drunk dunk over Ewing?
Stupid, I forgot. But no, I didn't go that far. I reminisced about that. We had a game to watch and cover, so I couldn't get too in-depth with it. But all right, I got one more cut for you, Steve, and this comes from a fellow Steve Stone. You know that there is this sort of murmur of trying to get the sticky stuff out of baseball, the pitchers doctoring the baseball and the baseball doing crazy things, and the grip even improves velocity, all that kind of stuff. So you know about all that has been going on. And Steve Stone was on the Score this week trying to give some perspective and some potential solutions.
I think we're at the point now where our game has to have more action. And in order to have more action, you have to have more contact. In order to have more contact, you're going to have to do something that promotes contact. Right now, the pitchers are far ahead of hitters as far as maybe the technology. This whole idea of tunneling that most pitchers use, you can't tell the ball coming out of their hands exactly what it is. So in promoting contact, there's a couple of things that you can do. This whole idea of deadening the baseball, which was something they thought they were going to do coming into this year, has made the ball lighter, which means that the ball moves more. So it's not doing what it intended to do, which was keep the ball in the ballpark, make more contact. So we know that's not happening. Strikeouts are up almost alarmingly. And I think that it will be addressed. I know it's going to be addressed. And when they do, they'll come up with something, and it could be as easy as making a league-approved substance that pitchers use to get a better grip, but not necessarily get the this killer grip that increases revolutions 300-400 not percent, but 300-400 revolutions on a four-seam fastball. I mean, it's easy to see. You can take a guy, you can put him, let's say you put a guy in a bullpen and you make sure he has nothing on them, and then you let him throw you a four-seam fastball. And you're going to see 2,300, 2,350 revolutions, whatever it is, on Rapsodo that they quantify. Well, then let them use a little sticky stuff, and you're going to see 2,700. I mean, it's that radical a difference, which means you're going to get late movement, which means the hitter's eye is not going to be, the ball's not going to be where he expects it to be. So, yeah, I think they will implement something. I think they will move to do away with it or find some way to make it acceptable. But I think Rob Manfred and what he wants to do, And what they're experimenting with in the minor leagues, whether it's moving the mound back or maybe lowering it. I don't think lowering it's going to do anything, but moving it back a foot. It's going to be to promote more action in the game, because I've always said the artistry in our game is on defense. If you have that true result, the walks, the strikeouts, the home runs, there basically is very little defense. And I think you can see how great these athletes are when you see the great plays made in the infield, the outfield, et cetera. So promoting contact is where it is, and that promotes action, and you get guys running around the bases, and everybody's happy.
Rosie, what do you think about the whole sitch?
I think it's impossible to police. They can do their best. They can throw guys out. They can try to make it scared. They make them scared of it. It's impossible to police. They put Rawson out there. You know, I'm sorry, I got sunscreen on my face or whatever. If you get anything on the – really, you have to be strict. You get anything on a ball, you're going to have a lot of games being stopped. They look at the ball, they throw a guy out. That's what it's going to have to be. You got anything on your cap, you got a spot on your cap, you're thrown out of the game.
Uh-huh.
Anything that looks suspicious. And you know what? You remember that funny play for which there was no consequence when the ball got stuck to Molina's chest protector?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing that for the pitcher. He's just throwing the ball back, rubbing his hands, and he gets the ball sticky for the pitcher, right?
Yep.
So you throw catchers out of the game, too. And that's all you're going to do. You're going to need a rash of ejections in order to clean it up.
Oh, my God, you're right.
And otherwise, there's no consequence. There has to be a consequence.
Right. And there's 100 ways to you know, undermine the system. And that's the game that's going to have to be the game within the game. So you're right.
We'll see if we know anything more next week. So anyways, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a Jed Hoyer interview that he did with Bruce Levine and David Haw inside the clubhouse. So I want to thank Chris Emma for joining us today, James Fox of Southside Sox, and Brandon Fryer for sitting in for Trash Panda, who is, I think he's doing the handstand kegs. I think he's doing something like that. Or maybe he's drinking Trash Pandas. Maybe he's drinking the blood of Trash Pandas as part of some satanic ritual. So, Mark, if it happens that nobody important listened to the show, we'll be back next Saturday, and we can discuss more of this.
All right, hold your breath, buddy.
Okay, I will. Saturday Suckage, thanks for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
All right, welcome back. Cubs at Giants. The Cubs will try to do something they haven't done, like win. Beat the Giants. 6:15 tonight on The Score. First pitch, 5:40 is the pregame show with Zach Zaidman right here on the very Score station you're listening to. Earlier today on Inside the Clubhouse, Cubs president, general manager Jed Hoyer was on, and he talked and he had some pretty revealing things to say about what team and what it'll look like on the other side. Thanks for listening to The Score.
We are pleased to go out to the Score hotline and bring in the Cubs president, Jed Hoyer, who is kind enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. A little bit tired staying up to watch that game last night. These West Coast trips are not good for your sleep patterns, but certainly let's start there, Jed, because we have a lot we want to get to talk to you about, but last night was a really newsy game because of what happened in the dugout. Before we get any further, what was your reaction to what you saw happen between Wilson Contreras and Anthony Rizzo, and do you know yet what caused it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, I talked to Rossi after the game for a while, just more about, well, roster moves and things like that, and that came up briefly. But, you know, I think to me the bummer of the whole thing was it happened publicly. You know, you never want those things to happen in the dugout. Things like that happened in the clubhouse, you know, throughout the summer. You don't, not often, but, you know, you got, you know, 50 people traveling around the country in a competitive industry trying to win. These things happen, you know, and there's no big deal. It's the kind of thing that's kind of over and done with right after. But, you know, I think that they were frustrated. I think we'll keep, you know, the reasons why, you know, internal, but they were frustrated. They sort of had their moment. And, you know, if that moment happens in the batting cage or something like that, no one ever knows about it. So it's all good. They've been teammates for a long time. They actually get along great, and we'll sort of move forward. And, you know, I think that that's the, you know, that's the kind of passion. You don't like to see guys going at it together like that. Like, that's not a positive, but at the same time, it kind of goes to show these guys are playing hard every night. They want to win, and when we're struggling in San Francisco, they're not happy about it.
Jed Hoyer joining us in Inside the Clubhouse. Thank you for taking the time out today to join David and myself. And staying in that vein, I know myself, people in the media, fans are tremendously interested in the month of June. 8 home games, 18 road games, 0-2 so far on that road trip against all teams who have better than 500 records, probably the best teams in the National League you play this month, most of them away. Is this a litmus test for you to observe as the architect of this team going forward and make some really difficult decisions about adding, subtracting, or staying the same after you see how the month of June plays out?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, first of all, May was, you know, so incredibly successful. We played so well. We beat some teams we need to beat, but we also played exceptionally well against some very good teams, and you know, we played really well at home. And you know, I thought that the brand of baseball that we played was, you know, was really outstanding. And yeah, June, it was no question. Like, when you look at the schedule at the beginning of the year, you know, that's sort of the month you circled as the most difficult month. As you said, like, you know, 18 road games, and you know, most importantly, when you look at the schedule and how you're going to perform, you know, 2 trips to the West Coast in 1 month is really difficult. So, yeah, I do think this is I don't want to call it a litmus test, but yet there's no question that, you know, this is a period of the schedule where we have to play really well, and you know, there's going to be games that we're going to struggle. There's no question in a schedule like that, but we need to win the games we can win, and we need to keep playing the same kind of you know, energetic baseball we've been playing for the last month, and I think we'll be okay. But yeah, it's a challenging one. You know, when you get the schedule, you look at your West Coast trips for a reason, and you know, we happen to be going out there and right now and playing 2 teams that are playing incredibly good baseball with, you know, great run differentials, and this was always going to be a challenge. And you know, the first 2 nights have been challenging, and we just need to, over the next 5 games, we just need to, you know, play better and get some W's.
So, Jed, we talk about this a lot on a daily basis, almost, if from Cubs talk radio to Cubs fans in the stands, you know, what direction this organization is headed this season. And I know that you're probably well aware of the way players have openly discussed being motivated by that possibility that this may be their last run together. They may be dismantled before the trade deadline. So I guess, are you saying, was May good enough to take you off the fence if you were wondering whether or not you're going to be buyer or seller? Is that a decision that is still being determined?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it was outstanding. And obviously, you know, I think all along our hope has been that we would be on the buy side, and certainly the way we played in May and where we are in the standings, that would, you know, that would certainly be the decision. You know, that said, I do feel like we, you know, there's no, you know, we can't have some arbitrary cutoff where that's decided, you know? So obviously, like right now, there's no question we're not in that position. We don't want to be in that position. And I hope we play well all month, but you know, I think ultimately there's no cutoff, you know, and I think we have to continue to make the best decisions. But just to be clear, you know, I love the way this team's playing. The energy has been fantastic. Obviously, bullpen has really stepped up, and you know, there'd be certainly it's our hope to be on the good side of those transactions, so to speak, where we're adding and really pushing to, you know, to win this year. I think that's what everyone, you know, from ownership on down really wants.
President of Baseball Operations for the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer, David Hall, Bruce Levine's guest on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. And let me advance that question a little further, Jed, by saying on June 11th, Wrigley Field will welcome all fans for the first time since September of 2019. With that great joy for the fans and for people watching the game and covering it, also comes for you and your owner more revenue, a lot more revenue. More importantly, revenue you can count on. How will that and how can that impact decisions made going toward the future of, instead of possibly waiting till the off season to determine additions, maybe going after some of those controllable players right now to help for now and the future. In other words, killing two birds with one stone.
Yeah. Well, first of all, even 60% was a great positive. And, you know, I can't tell you how nice it was to have fans back in the stands and feel that energy. And as much as we've looked forward to it, I think it was even more exciting, and the difference was even bigger than we imagined. You know, there's comments from our players, our coaches, from other teams, executives and coaches, just about how loud it was and how great it was. And, you know, of course you can't measure it, but I'm sure it had a real impact on our performance. And we've been playing great at home, and I think that has a lot to do with it. And 100% is going to be really terrific. And obviously, when from a revenue standpoint, I think I've already said, you know, on the record, yeah, I think we should have flexibility. I think that the fact that things opened up a little faster than we expected, and we have additional revenue as a result, we should have some flexibility. You know, as far as trades go, you know, I think what you said is you know, something that obviously, you know, we'll look at strongly. I think when it comes to trades, there's probably some time before the league is going to start moving. You know, there could be a one-off trade here or there, but, you know, I can tell you that, you know, as far as, you know, the trade market, you know, it's always slower than people think. It takes time to get into it. And, you know, early June, you still need to, you know, compete with what you have and use your depth. And that's what we're going to do. But as we get deeper into the trade season, yes, we should have some flexibility to make moves. And the early opening of things certainly helps.
You know, Jed, when you look at your big three, Chris Bryant and Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo, and the starts that they are off to, and how resurgent of a season this has been for KB and Javi as well, I think his baseball renaissance, and you look at his numbers, very impressive. So because it comes up so often, philosophically speaking, how realistic or unrealistic is to think that this is something you guys discuss internally or as an organization in terms of locking either or all of them up long-term to deals that would, you know, remove this sort of uncertainty to conversations about their future?
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, all three are iconic players for the Cubs, and deservedly so. And I think that, you know, so individually and as a group, I think, you know, our affection for those guys is, you know, is incredibly real based on what they've done and based on who they are as people. And over the last, you know, 5 years, but even really over the last year or so, we've had, you know, conversations with those guys about extensions. We've never, you know, we've never gotten there. In season, it's really difficult. You know, players are reluctant to negotiate in season. They want to focus on baseball, and I understand that. And, you know, I've always said, like, I think it's one of those things where you need to keep those conversations internal if you're going to have them. I think that it's not fair to negotiate in the public sphere. So if we do have those discussions, if one of the players reaches out and wants to talk about it, then we would certainly, you know, entertain those discussions. But as far as our desire to, you know, to retain, you know, those players, obviously I think they're great players, that what they've done here is really special. And if there's a way to continue that relationship, obviously we want to do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.